Hey, welcome to the Diary 101 podcast. I am your host, Aka Kandelo Kandepwe, also known as Aka. Let that sink in. Again, one of my favorite things to do on my podcast is how I introduce myself. Always me having my moment. Yeah, so guys, welcome. It's been a minute, not really, but yeah, it's every week and I love this episode. So today's guest is super amazing. And if you're in Zambia, we're navigating blackouts, load shedding, and all the good stuff happening in the country. And just that and rescheduling kind of gives me so much anxiety. So today's guest and I were just having a conversation pre to this and just talking about how rescheduling is so hectic. Like, if I reschedule something, I have to do it again the next week, and I'm like, oh my goodness, do I have the energy? But yeah, also, she is somebody I met recently on my trip to South Africa for Yali, and we might have conversations about that again. But yeah, she's so cool. I loved how she dominated the room, because yeah, she dominated the room full of all of us and our favorite guy, Uncle D. And yeah, so I thought to reach out to one of our facilitators and just say, hey, could you please be on my podcast? Because I think you do so great. Oh, now that's a long introduction. But no further ado. Hi, Mpulu Kenny.
Hi, Aka Kandelwa.
Did I butcher your name?
well, and listen to how I say yours, Aka Kandelwa.
You know what? When you introduced me for my pitch and you said my name so perfectly, I was just like, that's my girl, that's my woman.
Like, what?
You know how many times people watch my name?
I take it so serious as well.
I'm trying to take it so seriously as well, because now I'm having guests and I've had like three South Africa, you're my fourth guest from South Africa, and I'm failing to pronounce names, and it's such a funny moment. I really need to do better.
Listen, you can call me Mbo for short. I give you permission to do so.
Thank you, Mbo. How are you doing today?
I'm all right. Like I was saying earlier, it's 11 o'clock, but I feel like I've already had a full day already. Feel like I've had a full day already. It's very hot now. I'm not sure when you were in SA last year. It must have been in winter. But it was already starting to be cold, isn't it?
It was so cold.
Yes.
But it was cold the first week and the next 2 weeks. It was just okay.
It's very hot now. It's like very hot.
Oh, you guys just moved from cold weather to hot weather. It's like pretty extreme.
Overnight. Yeah. And the other thing is you can have both in one day, where it could be beautiful, or rather you can wake up to the cold in the morning, and midday it's hot, extremely hot. So when they say global warming is real, guys, we're living it, we're seeing it, it is a thing.
And that actually makes me think of something, how I would say as a person, I experience stuff extremely. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm good, I'm really good, I'm at a 10. And if I'm bad, I'm at a 0 or 1. Mm. And how that brings so much imbalance to the world or yourself. So even just the extreme weathers we're experiencing now, it's like, it was cold, now it's really hot, and I just want to be fine. What do you think about that?
It's in the extremities. I believe in balance.
Me too.
I believe in balance. I believe in striking a balance. And the reason why so is because we cannot ever exclude the fact that good things happen. And we can never ever exclude that bad things happen. I say they dance together, they travel together. One is there to balance the others, because extremities for me, it's like this weather where one moment is extremely cold, another it's extremely hot, putting us our systems all over the place, catching flus and affecting our health, you know. So I would want you to strike a balance, Aga, you know, not to be too cold or too hot, but enjoy that middle ground and be okay with the fact that, yeah, other days I will be upset. It's actually in conversation with what I facilitated 2 weeks ago, emotional intelligence, you know, the ability to control your emotions and the understanding, the ability to understand other people's emotions. So, yeah.
I agree. So one of my favorite authors and podcasters is Simon Sinek, and he always talks about how life is balanced. I only that I have extreme emotions. I only acknowledged that I had extreme emotions last year, when I said therapy. And now I always like to be at a five. Like, my therapist knows this about me. I'm always saying I would rather be a four, five, six, a seven, because I know how it feels to be at a 10. I know how it feels to be at a zero and a one. And I really don't like the extremity and just the emotions that I feel. Because you can only be high for so long, for an hour or two, then you are low for like the rest of the 22 hours, which is like really bad. So I'm learning to strike a balance. I'm always at a five these days. I'm always at a five and a six and a four. And I'm very content and happy that I'm in those emotions.
And I mean, it's okay to have days where you are feeling towards your 210, or where you are feeling extreme in terms of 9, 10, you know, a 9 and 10. But we're saying that that should not be the outlook of your day. It shouldn't be the outlook of your days. The outlook should be balanced. You know, it isn't good acknowledging that, you know what, I'm feeling a one today. I'm really feeling low. Let's get to the source of it. Other days you might try to get to the source of it. Other days you might not even understand what was the source of it. But it's in us saying that the outlook of your day, can it be balanced? You know, have a day where even when you're meeting challenges, you're still happy, you're still peaceful, you're still a kind person because you understand that both travel together, you know, they balance each other out. Yeah.
Again, life is so balanced. And I heard you mention something earlier about a session you had about emotional intelligence. We need more sessions like that. We need more sessions about emotions and just how we look at life. Because again, for me, it's taken me the last year, the last 6 months of the year, last year, to actually just try to understand my emotions, to acknowledge them, and actually to openly talk about them. Because we don't openly talk about emotions. And when you talk about emotions or how you feel about something, the other spectrum, which is like maybe the detail-oriented personalities, are like, this is not about a few things. This is about facts, facts. And yeah, so what are your thoughts on that?
You know, it's important. I say, and I tell my clients this, that it is so important for you to understand yourself. I believe life begins with you. Life doesn't begin with people around you. Life doesn't begin with things around you that you have or not, do not have. Life begins with you. It begins in you, checking yourself, checking your defects, checking your cracks, checking your traumas, and understanding that healing and allowing yourself to heal, allowing yourself to let go, allowing yourself to forgive you and forgive other people who might have wronged you. It actually opens up a path, you know, to living a balanced life, a happier life, where even when things are not going as perfect as we think that perfection is a thing. I don't believe it truly, truly should be a thing, but you know, as you live, you will understand that even when you are met with hardships in life, you're able to still pick up. When it comes to emotional intelligence, I love it because it forces you to look into yourself and your perception of yourself, your awareness of yourself, your emotional self. What triggers you? What doesn't trigger you? What makes you happy? What do you like? What do you love about yourself, about other people? And once you have tapped into that aspect, It absolutely changes how you also look at things around you. People who are negative minded are inclined to see negativity all around. They would never see positivity because even the internal voice that they use towards themselves, it's negative. So that's what they know. You only know what you know, right? So, and then moving from understanding yourself, it allows you to manage yourself. You hear people say, "Okay, like, you know, she's like that." No, there's nothing like she's like that. People
I know,
teachers.
right?
We learn, we unlearn, you know, and it's in our best interest to learn good things and unlearn bad things, you know, and be able to be adaptable. You get to a party and they are not serving things that you like, you know, you're able to adapt and say, let me try this one out. It's new, and then and moving from that, management of self, awareness of self, it moves you to the social aspect of who you are as well. You know, where you get to build empathy towards other people, understanding things from other people's point of view, understanding that it's not always about you, but it's about giving other people the platform, listening to them, hearing what they are saying according to how they are experiencing things, not to your own, but how they are experiencing things. And essentially, it helps us build beautiful, beautiful relationships with other people.
That's so true. And you know, there are moments where I've seen people, and sometimes it's mostly in like romantic setups, where if you were with this person before and you guys rekindle the romance and start again, and they're like, "You are not like this. You're like this and this and this." And I'm like, "Well, I am grown now. I have learned that that Akakandela served a purpose at that moment for a reason, and I'm grateful for her. The person I am now is serving a purpose for this reason, but I'm growing and I'm learning and I'm unlearning to be somebody new." So sometimes some people just fixate on this idea or what they think you are and what you should be, that when they rediscover you in another way, it's hard for them to accept that or acknowledge that you've really just grown and you're not that person anymore. So sometimes, yeah. It's like those are the things I'm navigating because now I'm grown. Now I'm a whole different person. I think differently. And yeah,
And I'm
it's
sure
interesting.
5 years from now you'll be another different person.
As I should. It's a
As you should.
must.
As you should. And you know, human beings are not set in stone, guys. It's not set on
Exactly.
stone that when you experience certain things, you know, the experiences we have on a day-to-day basis changes our perception, it changes our experiences and how we experience with other people, how we experience with things, and it changes who we are. And if you allow yourself to pivot as life, you know, allows you to change and grow and develop, it becomes easier and it becomes beautiful where you don't force yourself to be one thing and one thing only all the time, but allowing yourself to experience things in different ways and interacting with different people and understanding that, oh, okay, well, you know, with Akakandela, I can go deep, but with another person, it's just, hi, how are you? But with Akakandela, I can say, I can actually tell her that, you know what, friend, I'm going through this, I'm experiencing this and that, you know. And it's that very same notion that forces people in, even in relationships, whether it's a romantic relationship or with your friends and family members, that forces people to be things that they can feel they are no longer, they no longer are, to just remain there and not grow and allow their spaces and their environment to shine and adapt into things. So I like how you said it, you know, you are still growing. You are, I mean, I'm by the fourth floor already. I'm there, you know. And I know that in 5 years' time, most probably the things that I'm enjoying now are not going to be the things that I'm going to be enjoying then. But there's no point in me saying, ah, maybe I won't enjoy it in 5 years' time. No, I'm enjoying it now. So let me enjoy it now and live in the now.
Again, I love how life is so balanced and how growth just works, to be honest. A lot of people talk to me and say, "You have grown so much." I'm like, "As I should. Like, I need to grow to accommodate what I'm doing now, and probably need to grow in the next few years to accommodate the capacity of what I'm trying to build." And literally just starting with why. Like, why am I doing this? Who am I? And do I understand myself? The past 2 weeks, I've been talking, giving speeches at different places. And I always start telling them to understand themselves and start with why. Because if you understand yourself, you will know who you are in a crowd, which is very important. Because you don't want to be too distracted, or you don't want to be peer pressured in things you don't want to, but you also don't want to fall into your default roles. Things you don't normally do just because you're not comfortable, but could be good for you. And when you know your why and your purpose in life, it's something that will help you guide you to say no to certain stuff and say yes, and probably just be a little bit more flexible. Yeah. What do you
Yeah,
think?
I mean, authenticity is a thing, guys. I don't believe that we were created to be the same. We were not created to be the same in character and personality. We're not created to like the same things. Like just now, I was telling you, I'm drinking beetroot juice, and you're like, yeah, I can never be with you there. You know, we are not meant to be one thing, but. Being allowing yourself, right, to appreciate people for who they are and who they choose to be, living in their terms and conditions, it puts you in a space also to attract same way you are surrounded by people who are affording you the same, you know, the same respect to allow you to be who you are and living in your own terms and conditions. I always say, it's amazing that w when you are living, people want to be a supporting cast. You want to be a supporting cast in your own storyline. Don't be supporting cast. Be the protagonist, you know, be the leading lady, be the leading man in your life. Have your own terms and conditions because you understand your purpose. You understand your why, right? You understand your why, and every day you get to live your why, or you get to take steps towards your why. And should it change tomorrow, allow yourself to accept it, you know, and be okay that it has changed and it's now evolving into something else. I love how you phrased it, that, you know, understanding your why and being able to take a step every day towards your why. Often we want to be leading a supporting cast. You want to be a supporting cast in your own storyline. And people like that are people who are not living their why, are people who are living other people's whys. And I understand socialization is a big, big thing where there are so many expectations from different people in your life, from the society itself, to say, this is who you ought to be. But imagine being a protagonist in of your life, a leading lady, a leading man in your life, and being able to live your authentic life, living your the life you are meant to live, the purpose that you were created for, and navigating and actually getting to a point where every day it becomes easy. It's like breathing, you know, it becomes an organic thing where you are living your why without putting so much thought and stress into it. So yeah.
When you look back to your childhood, which part of it influenced you to be the person you are now?
I grew up, I had a good childhood. But a tragic thing happened when I was 7, 9 years old. My dad died, and it was suicide, you know, where he shot himself. I think for me, a life ceased. Life ceased because now I didn't just live life as being Mpologeng. I lived a life that had a traumatic experience, and the life that said, your dad died, but he didn't just die, he shot himself. And these are the conversation that nobody wanted to have, you know. It's like every Father's Day, there was always an elephant in the room because other kids will be talking about what they are doing for Father's Day. And I will just look around and I'm like, I can't even talk to people because it was such a heavy thing. It was such a heavy thing. And I think that had the most impact. But I was surrounded. I had my grandfather, who is my father's father, he was my soulmate, I say. Oh, that man. That old man, I can't stop. I can't, like, right now, I'm even blushing just thinking about him. I used to call him my gentle giant. My grandfather taught me kindness, Aga. Everybody deserves to have a grandfather like the grandfather I had. My grandfather taught me kindness. He was a very stern man. He was big build, was probably 1'8", if I'm not mistaken, in terms of height. And you would look at him and you would think, oh, this giant, gigantic man, and he's dead. But he was a marshmallow. I have never, even today, to this life, think about, I can't even think about a moment where I heard him raise his voice. I don't think I have ever heard him raise his voice. And I've never heard him speak ill of other people. He was a gentleman. And from him, I learned kindness, a principle I live by even today, that, always be kind. Be kind to yourself, be kind to other people, and kindness is something that will always follow you. And yeah, so those were the big major things, particularly my dad, the my dad passing. I took it and I carried with me for a very long time until I got to a point where, you have to now choose to heal, choose to grow, and choose to carve your own path, and deal with the traumas in your life.
You've actually hit two spots that are very, like, that are very triggering for me.
Sure,
And that's
sorry
how
about
you,
that.
that's how your dad died and your grandfather. My grandfather is like a sweet memory. I was raised by my grandfather. Like, I talk about my grandfather every single time. He was such a sweet soul. He died late 2018, I think. And before that, I lost my cousin. I was with him the previous night and he committed suicide. So when you just brought that, I was just like, yo. And then when I was in South Africa, I also lost another cousin who's like a sister through suicide the same month. So it's like, I lost my grandfather the same year. I lost my cousin though. So, but I have, it's so, it made me realize and like how emotionally attached I am to that narrative, and how I don't talk about it as much. I don't still think I'm in the capacity to talk about it. But then I do know how heavy it gets. For my first cousin, it's been like 6 years. For my recent cousin, it's just been like 3 months. And I just even haven't navigated how to have her in a conversation. Like, we talk about her every day. We talk about everything around her every day. And
And I'm glad you've chosen that path to talk about her every day, because that is the part of mourning. That is part of the process of mourning. There are two things when we lose people. Two things happen. We get stuck in grief. We experience grief, but we also have to experience mourning. A lot of times, grief, it's the feelings, it's the emotions attached to it of the loss, and people get stuck in that and they don't know how to move out of that, and that becomes part of who they are. And as opposed to mourning, when you are mourning, it's in you acknowledging the feelings, the grief in you, and the energy, and allowing yourself to process it out. And I think you talking about your cousin every day, it's part of the mourning. It's part of you mourning your cousin, and choosing not to erase them and forgetting about them, but saying, you know what, they lived, and this is the impact that they had in my life. Suicide for me has always been a very touch spot because of my dad. I understand, in a sense of, on the other side, I've never been depressed to say I want to take my life, but I understand on the flip side of it, to say I've been somebody who has been affected by it, and not being able to speak freely about it, to speak about, this is how I'm feeling right now. I'm angry, the stages of grief. I'm angry right now. I'm angry at this person for taking their lives because they robbed me off of them. And then for me, my mind also brings me back to saying, you don't know the darkness that they were in. So in as much as, yes, you acknowledge that I'm angry, but you also have to be empathetic towards the person to say, what type of darkness were you in that you did not see hope? You did not see a light. You did not see that the world would be better with you in it, you know. So it's always that. It's always that. But it's conversations that I love having because it's part of the process, you know. It becomes part of the mourning. It becomes part of processing the grief out and saying, it's okay, let's have a talk about it. Let's have a conversation about it. Yeah.
I totally agree. I'm still fresh on it. For two
Yeah.
for the both instances, I'm still fresh on it. Yeah, and therapy helps, honestly. It helps. It genuinely helps because I can freely talk about how I feel and not be too subconscious. Am I sharing too much? Am I not sharing too much? Am I being too vulnerable? You can never be too vulnerable. But you never know with life, right? With people. It's like, am I burdening people? Because when you drop such bombs on people don't know what to say. It becomes awkward. It becomes an awkward conversation. Like, it took me a while to say that to people. Only my friends know, right? Like, it's only conversations I can have with my friends, but also not all my friends, because I wouldn't want to make it awkward for them. Like, no one, you know, it happened when I was in South Africa for the Yanni. My cousin died, right? And yeah, so I was disrupted for the whole process. And when I came back, I noticed that it took my friends like over weeks to reach out. And you know, I got it. Like, I understood to say, I get it. It's an awkward conversation. You don't know how to navigate saying anything. Like, you don't know if what you're saying is right. You don't, like, it's such, yeah. So it's like just awareness.
It's a take it one day at a time. Take it one
Yeah.
day at a time because one day you may wake up feeling happy and okay and having really not really forgotten about it, but where you did not make it the center of your thoughts. And then one morning it hits you like it has never left you. I say stay with it. Stay with it in a sense to acknowledge that today I woke up and I woke up as if I haven't dealt with the passing of my cousin, and you know, acknowledge it and let the people around you know the space that you are in so that they understand that it's not about them, but it's about you being here in the space and allowing you the moment to process it.
And I always say this to like the people in my life, be okay with my silence.
100%. There's a lot that happens in
People find silence awkward. So I find
silence,
it awkward sometimes if I'm with my friends and we're just minding our own business. I'm like, okay, no. But the moments where you've already caught up, you've done your stuff, and now you're all just in your space, sometimes I find it awkward. And other times they find it awkward because I can be silent like for 4 hours, 5 hours somewhere in a room. But a lot of my friends have learned to navigate that because I have extreme energy. When I'm happy and I'm energetic, I'm at a 10. When I'm silent, I'm at a 0. It goes back to what we talked about, life being balanced. I really do try to be a 5, so 5 with energy, 5 with silence.
But be kind to yourself. You must be kind to yourself about how you're feeling. And really just taking it one day at a time and being in the moment and understanding that this is the moment I'm in. It doesn't mean that I'm hating life. No, it means that today I'm just feeling a little sad. I'm thinking about my dad, and I'm thinking about all the things I would have wanted to share with him, but he's not around. It is absolutely okay, you know?
It is.
Absolutely. It's part of life. It is part of life.
Yeah, life and living. Again, life is so balanced, and there's also so much to be grateful for and so much to question but accept.
100%. And those moments where you share the sentiments or your gratitude, you know, are moments that just pushes your energy levels up again, because you are acknowledging the good things. The thing about human beings is that we want to always be in the bad. Oh, I'm going through this. Oh, I'm going through this type of challenges. But you don't want to acknowledge that even in those moments of challenges, good things are happening in your life, good things are happening around your life. And you taking a moment to say, I am grateful for this that is happening, even within the storm, it keeps you up. It gives you a little bit of an energy injection that helps sustain you until you come out in the storm that you are currently in on the other side. So it is that balance, you know, it balances itself out. If only we knew and we appreciate it for what it is, it will make life so much easier and so much more beautiful.
So true. What inspired you to create your development foundation for children?
So I grew up reading. My mom.
You have me hooked and headed at a
I grew up reading, and I loved fiction. I loved Disney books. I enjoy anything that I could get my hands on. That book, I would be flipping the pages. I will be so fixated in it. I would be imagining the world around it. I grew up in a very small town in Tavanchu, in the Free State, one of the provinces here in South Africa. And there wasn't a lot of activities happening, right? Keeping us busy. And so I spent most of my time reading. And I just loved that culture. So later on in the years, I think I had just had my son. I wanted to give that to other kids, particularly the ones who are in the informal settlements, to say, if I could raise books, if I could come up with books, if I could make libraries, and I would do it. I started collecting books from people, and I ran a mobile library from the boot of my car. From the boot of my car, and just in the name of instilling the culture and the love of reading. Because one thing about literature is that, yes, you may be living in a small town called Tabanchu, but it takes you all over the world through imagination, and it helps you aspire to see all the things that you're reading about, the experiences that you're reading about. And that's how I grew up. We always want seeing things in my head and wanting to live, and hence my goals were always higher, you know. So I wanted to give that. I wanted to give that to other kids, you know. I think after the passing of my dad, one thing that saved me was reading, was literature. It saved my life. So, yeah.
You know, you said reading helps you travel. So I traveled to the United States, right? Last year. Before I traveled to the United States, I traveled through books. Before I traveled or flew to South Africa, I flew to South Africa through books.
Hundred.
And this is how my imagination works. Like, I want to go to Paris. I want to backpack in Europe, and I'm having all these ideas, and I'm reading books. And people don't understand the power of reading. I started to read when I was 10, so it took me a while to learn to read. And my grandfather would make me sit with him every day after school and read the newspaper to him, so I could improve my reading. And just that, the reading, then getting novels, getting fictional books. Reading is such an experience people don't understand. And reading also saves your life completely. I think it's actually saving my life right now.
Yeah,
The
it
podcast and
saved
reading,
my life. It
the
saved me.
podcast and reading are saving my life. And I'm glad you want to share that with everybody, and especially the children. It takes me back. So I have started something new. I'm trying to discover the local libraries in my city, which is Lusaka. There's some are public, some are private, just to give people an awareness where they can go to a local library and get a book and read. And if there are no books at local libraries, we could actually, as a community, donate books, buy books, and give to the library, so that the importance of having a local library where kids and teenagers can just go and have time alone and read is something we underestimate. So yeah, I'm trying to work on such a campaign. I'm doing it alone. It's so fun. I just released a post about a library I was at last week. So something I enjoy so much.
100%. You must keep at it. It is an experience, like you said. You know, reading is an experience. It makes you imagine things that are bigger than yourself. It makes you, it puts you in other people's shoes, have other people's experience, and understand life as not just one thing, but as this beautiful creation that on a day-to-day basis you live, you wake up to create. You know, you are co-creators. And it's absolutely amazing. It saved my life. I remember I would not know, I didn't know how to read before I learned how to read. I would just page the pages. I would just flip through the pages and tell stories with the pictures, the illustrations, and I would say, "This is what's happening, this is what's happening," until I learned how to read. But yeah, and that's thanks to my mother, you know, it's thanks to my mother, yeah.
How has being part of Yali impacted your life?
I don't know if you know if Yali, I was a participant.
Actually do.
Oh, okay. All right. So, you know, I say everybody must go through a program like Yali because it is life-changing in the sense of mindset. I was employed when I went to Yali, and coming out of Yali a couple of months later, I was retrenched. And that retrenchment found me in a space where I did not wallow in the fact that I was retrenched, but I went and I said, okay, let's look at the drawing board. What is the next? Where are you navigating to? More than anything else, Akakandelwa Yali for me was a mindset change. And it made me believe in my potential. It made me believe in my capabilities. And it removed the fear of the world because I got to interact with different people, you know, from different parts of Southern Africa, people from young people from the islands, and seeing and being surrounded and immersed in that brilliancy of young people like myself. I came out of it feeling like, yeah, we can be all presidents here of our country.
Facts.
We can turn things around here. Listen, the continent is rich with knowledge. And that for me, that experience for me, it said there is no limit to what we can do. And that I've been moving with that energy since. Even today, I have it. And now the privilege of being a facilitator at the program that changed my outlook. Of my not even an outlook of the world, an outlook of me, you know, how I viewed myself and the barriers and the restraints that I had around myself. I came out of it with I can. The word I can't was something that I totally forgot, and I became a bulldozer. I was a bulldozer. So being a facilitator now and having the platform to impart that in other young people, brilliance, and it's such an honor and a privilege.
So Yali inspired your business.
Yes. So when I got retrenched, I was like, what do I do? Do I look for another job? And I was like, hell no, you're open. Own company. I got my certification in facilitation. I got my certification in coaching. And every year I've been studying psychology, you know, and just to grow myself to in knowledge, in the theory of it, and also being able to put it into practice. So yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about your business. I know it's in coaching and leadership, but what are some of the areas you focus on?
So my focus is on the soft skills development aspect of it. I design the programs, soft skills development programs, and it's always on emotional intelligence. It's level up in saying to my clients that this is where you are in terms of the company, in terms of knowledge, in terms of your capabilities, but let's level you up. Let us increase your knowledge on how you can take the hard skills and use the glue of your soft skills to build yourself and develop yourself. So that's what I've been doing. We speak in leadership development We're talking how to achieve your goals, and the human-centered design. I think for me, the human-centered design and design thinking is one of my favorites. It's absolutely one of my favorites because you get to see yourself and you get to see your privilege and you get to say, wait a minute, there is more to my interaction with other people than just being the center of it all. You know, it allows you to build and be empathetic towards other people in the situations that they are in and the challenges that they have. And then there's the life coaching aspect to it. Initially, my qualification is on leadership development, all right, on leadership coaching. But because of psychology as well, now I'm doing life coaching, and I love the balance of both, where a person walks through the doors for leadership coaching, and we end up doing the life coaching into it as well. Like I said, everything should be balanced. There's no just one aspect of you where you get to box the leader in you, and then only it's the human aspect of you. I love putting it together so that it makes sense, and you're able to find that balance between all areas of your life. So it's that as well. I do counseling as well because I am qualified to counsel people, but often it's the leadership coaching, and the facilitation.
Yeah, at one moment it did feel like a counseling session earlier, by the way.
I got you, girl. I got you.
I also love the human-centered design thinking because it also shows you that, for example, if it's a business, it's bigger than you and it's not about you. Like, it removes you from the equation. It's just part of the solution. You're the one that is spearheading, trying to build and solve that problem. And also realize that it's about everybody else but you. And just knowing your role in it is why I love human-centered design thinking.
Yeah. Absolutely. It is my favorite to facilitate. You see, when I have to facilitate the human-centered design thinking, oh, you're tickling me. It's a tickle for me. And it's like a child in a candy store. I absolutely love it. There is nothing as empowering as you realizing yourself, who you are, realizing how you are part of a bigger picture, and being able to say, it's not just about me and what I want, but it's also about the next person and me finding, helping to find the solution to their pain points. You know, helping them realize their pain points and also matching the solution to their pain points. It is absolutely amazing.
That's so true. So, what are the key lessons you've learned from facilitating and mingling with the Yali cohort? Because that's a privilege. You do that every year? That's so fun.
Yes. Sure. I don't know. Let me think. Give me like a second to think about
Sure.
it. You know, when it comes to development, Akakandela, I take it so serious. I take the ability to build with words as seriously as an architecture putting a building together and understanding that should they get it wrong in the foundation, the building will collapse. I view my work as a facilitator like that, to say there is so much power in people who are in the teaching space, because it's either you can break souls or you can help strengthen souls. And I take my words very seriously, and I always want to leave people I facilitate, participants that I facilitate, with a sense of hope, with a sense of, you know what, life is good, life is beautiful. And understanding also the impact that I have just for the presence, for the mere presence that I am there. So and also I learn quite a lot, which is also just as beautiful. I mean, recently now, 2 weeks back, we had another cohort 25, your cohort 23. We just completed cohort 25. And I met different people from the islands. I didn't even know there was an island called Rodriguez in Mauritius, and yet I want to go there and hike. And it gives you, forever forces you to live in the moment as a facilitator, to live in the moment, because every cohort is different. Every cohort has its own energy wavelength, and you have to match that. And you walk away also being built from those energies that people that from the people that you are interacting with. So yeah, I'm sure I didn't answer your question, but yeah.
I can't believe it's called 25 already. It's been 3 months since I was in South Africa.
Yes,
You
we
guys
are
are so busy.
in 3 months. I in that 3 months we've done
Two cohorts.
two cohorts. I have done two innovation challenges. The one was there in Lusaka. I was in Lusaka. And then another one was in Namibia. I was in Namibia a couple of weeks ago. So in that space, we've had so many cohorts.
That's busy, busy. So for the rest of the year, do you have any cohorts or you're done for the rest of the year?
With Hiali, I'm done for the rest of the year. I'm completing a program with my other clients. I think we are in September, right? September is the last month where I'm doing group facilitations, and I'll only be focusing on my one-on-one individual clients, that and also designing programs for next year.
Wow.
Yeah.
A busy life, and with all that, you still find time to go hiking, do other stuff you love. How do you strike
100%.
balance?
100%. I look for a morning where I haven't booked anything. I block out my calendar and I go hiking. I prefer hiking during the week as opposed to the weekends, because the weekends the hiking spots gets too busy. And often when I'm in nature, I just wanna be with my thoughts, really. I would always take a friend, so it would be conversations between myself and a friend. Or my son. I've taken my son to hike. And then, yeah, I always find that balance, you know, where you block out a morning, you go do you. Or I go to the spa, and I just sit with myself. Most of the time, I am alone, which is what I enjoy, because I get to interact with so many energies that I just want
You
my
and
quiet.
me both.
Yes, I just want my space, and I want to be able to just be with my thoughts and check in there. Are we still okay, Mpologeng? Are you still mentally fit? Are you okay? Are you good? Is there anything perhaps that needs processing? If not, let's go do life. Let's go do work. So yeah, I do find time for me. I have to. Otherwise, I will be depleted.
You're an introvert, right?
Very, very much so.
No one would ever know.
Nobody would never, people will not believe it.
I know it because with my type of energy, no one believes that I'm introverted.
Yes.
No
Yes.
one. And
They
then.
call me the mayor at the gym. One of my friends always says that Auntie M, I call her Auntie G, she calls me Auntie M. Because Auntie M, you walk into the gym and you're like the mayor from the door, you greet everybody. You're greeting them with their names. You're talking to everyone. And I'm like, I don't know. It's what I do. I go to the shops where I buy my food. I greet everybody by name. I am that person. It's like my daughter one day said to me, "You come to the mall to socialize." I'm like, girl, the only place I can socialize, because once I go home, it's just me and myself. And I enjoy that. I
That's so
absolutely enjoy it. Yeah.
So you have the honor of asking me a question before we wrap up.
Yo, I didn't think about the question that I would ask you, but it's a hard one. It's a hard one. Okay, maybe I'm trying not to be Bologna, the coach at the
Please be you, please do
because you
whatever
know,
you
as his coaches, we ask a lot of questions. We ask a lot of questions. We are very good at asking a lot of questions.
Yeah.
So the minute somebody says ask, my mind is like, I put on my coach hat and I don't want to put my coach hat. Sure. I've got two things. And you may choose to sit with it, if you want to sit with it, to say, are you happy? The next question would be, one is, are you happy? And then the other one is, are you kind? And kindness goes to yourself. I know people would always say I'm kind to other people, but are you kind to yourself? Are you happy? And are you kind to yourself? And happiness is not the absence of problems and troubles. We're talking happy as a state of being, as a state of being. So yeah, you see, never ever ask a coach to ask you. They
Okay.
would always go deep. And it's not that deep. My kids would always say, but mommy, it's not that deep. I don't know how to not make it deep. So yeah.
Okay. I would say I'm alive to the first question, and I'm honestly very grateful that I'm alive. Like I mentioned, it's been a tough year for me with
Yes.
everything that has happened. But I'm always grateful that I'm alive.
Okay.
And I've been saying I'm alive for the past 3 months. And the context is sometimes life is just so draining. Navigating grief and just navigating life has been challenging for me. So just waking up every day and realizing that I'm alive. Because after that, I think I was seeing somebody romantically. And I got so tired with somebody asking me if I'm okay, how are you doing? And yeah, we had an unwritten rule where I'll just say I'm alive. And he would also say I'm alive. And that's an indication that life and emotions are happening at this point, and I'm just making you aware of it. And I don't think I'm ready to talk about it. So yeah, great to be alive. And I experience happiness occasionally, right? So I have happy moments. I do stuff. Every time I go to a library and read on my own, every time I talk about my work, those are moments I experience happiness. Every time I'm sitting home alone working, or every time I visit a museum or take a walk, I experience happiness. So yeah, I experience happiness. And I am so grateful I'm alive. That's for the first question. The second one is I am learning more to be kind to myself. Like I said, and for me, showing kindness to myself is making sure I'm having a balanced state of emotions. Talking about my extreme emotions, acknowledging how I can be at a 10 and I can be at a 9 and I can be at a 0 and I can be at a 1. So showing kindness to myself has been just making sure I'm at a balanced state of emotions. That makes me more level-minded. That makes me make better decisions. That just calms my nervous system. I know how it feels to walk into a room and you panic so much and oh my goodness, I don't want to be here. I have those moments where I am just with a friend and I'm like, I'm leaving because I'm panicking and I'm panicking. But the last few days or the last 2 weeks, I've been going to events, I've been talking, I've been depleting because I'm introverted. But because I'm at a 5, I understand myself better. And I understand when my sugar levels are going down, I understand when they're up, and I just try to balance them out. So for me, balancing my emotions and being at a 4, 5, 6, 7 is the kindest thing I can ever do to myself, to be honest. Like I am balanced and also speaking my mind and having hard conversations with my family. So yeah, I do think I've been learning to be kind to myself of late, and I'm so grateful for that.
It's important. It's absolutely important to be kind to yourself, even when you've got plans and things don't turn out and pan out the way you had envisioned them to be. It's absolutely important to cut yourself some slack and just breathe, you know, to breathe.
Yeah.
And I'm alive. I'm here and I'm alive and I'm showing up, you know. So it's important. And I'm happy that you are alive. I'm happy that you are in a space of self-discovery and finding ways to be more and more kinder to yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think people know it takes a lot to be alive.
Yes.
It takes a lot. Everybody was so me and the guy are the only people that knew this I'm alive thing. So I started introducing it to my friends, and my friends were so worried. Like, why are you saying you're alive? And I'm like, we should be grateful I'm alive. It should say a lot is happening, right? I'm just making you aware of my current state of mind so that you're a little bit more self-aware, and I want to be more self-aware of my emotions, and I also want to let you in to a different realm of my life. So I love being alive. It's good enough for now.
Yes, no, good enough is good.
Yeah, it's
It's absolutely good.
It's so sad we're coming to an end.
It feels like we just started now.
This can't be real. Like,
It feels like
really?
we just started, but yeah. Don't worry, give me my number. Anytime you want to start a conversation, I will avail myself.
I look forward to your podcast, by the way. Like, I
Oh,
am
don't put pressure
psyched.
on me, please, Aga. Don't put, do
Yes,
not put pressure on me
I
right
am
now.
putting it to the universe so that now it's just not in your head. It's out there, and you're now thinking about it, and you're now planning towards it. Might not go as planned, but you're just like, it's out there, and I really want to do something about it. And if you don't want to do something about it now, that's okay too.
I promise you, it is coming. I'm gonna start crunching on it in September. Hopefully, the first episode would be available first week of October. Let's see how it goes.
Yes, I can't wait.
I'm putting pressure on myself now, putting deadlines.
Yeah, you should put your. It's good to have a time frame, and it's
100%.
very important. Yeah.
100%.
So,
100%.
what do you look forward to?
In terms of what? Work
Life.
life?
Life in general.
Oh, I take it as it comes. You remember that day when we were supposed to do the recording in my Giza Burst last week?
Yeah.
I was so not panicking. I was just like, okay, Giza, I'll come deal with you when I'm done. Let me do the podcast, you know. And that's what I've learned. I've learned to be in the moment. And be here in the moment. Most of my time when I'm not alone, I'm with my family, I'm with my kids, and it's absolutely joy. It's an absolute joy that I can't even begin to describe. And living, you know, when you live the life that you are meant to live, I am there where I'm living the life that I am meant to live, and I'm absolutely loving it. So I'm looking forward to many more of days where I impart some knowledge, I impart healing, hope in other people. And that for me is an absolute something that I look forward to each and every day, engaging different people, and just looking forward to people healing and looking into themselves and living a happy life, because it is possible. It is absolutely possible to live a happy, peaceful life every day of your life. And it's not something that it is meant for other people and not for others. No. Happiness is meant for all of us. Peace is meant for all of us. Love is meant for all of us. And we all deserve it. Absolute deserve it every day. So, yeah, engaging with other people every day, I look forward to that.
That's so me. The podcast has taught me that you can actually just accept things as they come, because there's a lot of stuff that happens. Like, people reschedule, life happens, And I'm such a scheduled person. I'm like, I want this done at this, da 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 da. And with the podcast, it's so much, there's so much unpredictability that you really can't let it get to you all the time. So I'm always like, oh, okay, that happened. Okay, cool. This isn't working out. And it's actually helped me communicate better with people because sometimes it's out of my control. And I just need to communicate that to people to say, I really can't do this now, or this, we can't do this now because it's out of my control. And I'm doing my best. And I value your time and your effort. So, yeah. This was such a good conversation. Thank you so much.
You are welcome, and
It
anytime you want to have, I am here for it. I am absolutely here for it.
like, I loved how we just talked about, I think my key takeaway would be how we kept emphasizing how life is so balanced. It's something we don't acknowledge so many times, that life is balanced and things happen for a reason, which I don't like sometimes. But it's too good. And extreme emotions are some things we should balance. Everything extreme, we should balance it out and live life like that. So it's such a unscripted conversation that
I
is so
know. I
interesting.
can't
I love
believe
it.
it took the direction that it took, but yeah, those are the best. Those are good
For everybody listening, thank you for tuning in. I hope you loved our conversation. I will share Mpho's information in our bio. We'll be sharing this episode soon. So thank you so much and hope you share it with a friend. Bye.
Great stuff. Thank you. Bye.